from Merry Christmas to Jerusalem to National Geographic's Gender Revolution. We've got it covered today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's like a very Christian normative campus, and so we feel like it's just not really a safe space for people of different faith traditions. So we're just sending a letter to the administration to be like, hey, like, this can be like almost oppressive for some people. Would you guys like to sign?
I will totally do it.
All right, awesome, yeah.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
If you haven't heard, that was students at the University of Virginia asking other students to sign a petition banning Christmas celebrations from the campus. Yeah, that's a little oppressive to some of the students, and you don't want any triggers, anything that would trigger anything negative or make someone feel unsafe on our campuses. And at the same time, Donald Trump starts off his last thank you rally, which was in Orlando, Florida, thanking the people of Florida for getting out and voting on his behalf. And what did Mr. Trump, President-elect Trump, say? He starts off with, let me just say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Is this a big battle right now in America? Is this something really important and significant that we need to all be saying Merry Christmas because of the war on religion and the war on Christian faith in America and the whole PC don't want to offend anyone culture and thereby offend millions of others? Or is this kind of a immaterial side issue in light of the bigger issues we're facing? We'll talk about that. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. To call in 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A couple of things I want to talk to you about today. Donald Trump's camp, his chief strategist or campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, has said, yes, moving the American embassy to Jerusalem in Israel is a big priority. His nominee for ambassador to Israel, his appointment for ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, has openly said, I look forward to our embassy being in Jerusalem, our eternal capital. There's a firestorm of controversy over that. Some fascinating information. I just wrote an article this morning that I'll post later today or tomorrow, but I want to get into some of that with you. I think it's of real importance. And then National Geographic, their new issue coming out December 27th, features a 9-year-old boy on the front cover who identifies as a girl and dresses like a girl, wears his hair like a girl. He's on the front cover of the magazine devoted to the subject of the gender revolution. We'll talk about that as well. Is that being complicit in some form of child abuse to now make this confused 9-year-old child whom we care about and want to see totally whole with his insides agreeing with his outsides? Is that some type of child abuse? 866-348-7884. Yeah, so just one more bit of insight on the clip that we played for you. This was campus reform, and these are conservatives who are putting this forward. They're having fun with this. They're trying to see the responses from the students and saying, yeah, let's ban Christmas celebrations. And they're getting students to say, yeah, we want to sign. So this was a test that they were doing as opposed to something initiated first by radical liberals on the campus, just to make that clear. All right, a bunch of things to talk with you about today, but my question for you, do you care? Does it matter if we say Merry Christmas or not? If we say Happy Holidays? I mean, Hanukkah falls around the same time as Christmas, virtually identical time this year. So does it matter? Should we make a big deal about it? Donald Trump said we're going to say Merry Christmas again. He meant it. He's doing it. Is that a big thing or is that a distraction? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to be with you. So Donald Trump has said we're going to say Merry Christmas again. My friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, the Christian attorneys working for righteousness and justice and religious freedoms in America, they've made this a big issue for years now. Merry Christmas. Quote, get Christ back in Christmas. Don't be afraid to say Merry Christmas, so on and so forth. As a Jewish believer in Jesus, perhaps it's been less important to me than to others, because I'm also conscious of the fact that for, you know, as a Jew, there's Happy Hanukkah also. And then Merry Christmas is kind of like a little bit proverbial for me. If I say it, I normally say have a blessed Christmas to someone. That's just more meaningful to me. But for many, it's clear. It's like the stores won't say Merry Christmas. This has been for some years. And, you know, Starbucks says there's no religious tradition. America can just have red cups. And many Americans are bothered by that. And Donald Trump said in his campaign, we're going to say Merry Christmas again. And he did. And more people will be saying it. Is that positive? It's like, wait, what's Jesus got to do with Christmas anyway? That's just a worldly holiday and it's commercialism and all of that. So why even make an issue out of it? We're not going to discuss whether to celebrate Christmas or not, whether it's pagan, whether it's godly. We're not discussing that. But just, is it a big deal? Is it something we should care about? 866-348-7884. So back to the University of Virginia. Campus reform, in the season's most anticipated holiday spinoff, Campus Reform visits the University of Virginia dressed as the hipsters who stole Christmas. So it's a fun thing that they did. And Campus Reform decided they're gonna check things out, with schools across the country outright banning even such innocuous Christmas decorations as evergreen trees and images of Santa because they could be interpreted as being, quote, non-inclusive. Campus Reform wanted to find out what students think of the idea. Quote, I know a lot of students who aren't religious, so we're just trying to make campus a safe space for them. So the Campus Reform reporters Amber Athey and Cabot Phillips visited UVA, created a FAO student group called Students for an inclusive holiday season, and asked students to sign a petition getting rid of school references to Christmas because of the holiday's oppressive and triggering nature. In less than 2 hours, nearly 20 students opted to sign the fake Christmas banning petition. All right, now it's a handful of students. It's not like everybody stopped and said we have to do this, but it's very illustrative. It's very illustrative. And I want you to hear this. This is some of the responses. JJ, grab clip number two. You have to smile and then shake your head with pity as you listen to this.
The Christmas spirit, everything that comes along with that, of people like assuming that we want to accept gifts and assuming that we want to like see Christmas lights everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like at this point I've kind of gotten used to it, but I feel like
No one should have to get used to oppression, you know? Like a lot more people are like kind of shoving their Christmas like spirit, I guess you could say, into people's faces. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, that's hard.
We're just trying to like make sure that campus is like kind of trigger free, you know?
All right. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
That's Thank fair. You. Thank you so much. Right. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
The lights just feel kind of oppressive though. Like I don't celebrate Christmas, and so I see the lights and I instantly think like, well, I don't celebrate Christmas.
I'm not religious like, either. I'm just like...
Then those lights aren't for us. Like, those lights are just for the religious students.
I'm sorry to laugh. I'm sorry to laugh. But there are certain things that, even though they're serious because there's something missing here, there's some issues here, you have to just laugh at some of this. The lights are oppressive because I'm not religious. Hey, look. If you're in a culture, a country that is vast majority one color, or vast majority one ethnicity, or vast majority one religion, okay, and that's been its history, and that remains its present reality, get used to the fact that there are going to be things that aren't for you if you're not part of that dominant culture or religion or color or ethnicity. One of my white friends was in Nigeria, in Africa, was getting on the bus with other Africans, other Nigerians, and let's just say it was $1 bus fare. I don't know what the currency was or what the amount was. $1 bus fare. And he got on. And when he got on, he went to hand him a dollar. And he said, no, $2. I said, well, I said, you're white. This was actually said to him. You're white. A friend of mine's a missionary, ministers all around the world. Well, he just was not greeted warmly as a white person. Okay, that's when a culture now is outright hostile. As American culture was to Africans in our culture through much of our history, and especially in different parts of the country. That's one thing that we could say is wrong. It's another thing if the dominant culture is black, or the dominant culture is brown, or the dominant culture is Asian, or the dominant culture is Hindu, or the dominant culture is Muslim, or the dominant culture is Christian, or the dominant culture is Hispanic, or the dominant culture is whatever it is, ethnicity, race, color, religion, you can expect the dominant culture to have its practices. And this is part of the life of the culture. And it may not be for you. If you are a Christian in Israel, and Sabbath is the seventh day as God gave it to Israel, well, that may not be your practice, and you may want to go shopping at certain stores, but they're closed. I find that oppressive. Well, that is the reality in a state that identifies as a Jewish state. You may be wanting to get some sausage in Egypt, and you're having a hard time getting it because it's Muslim-dominated culture. Well, that's oppressive. No, that's Islam doesn't eat pork. So What I'm saying is, get over it. If you don't like the Christmas lights, but it's either secular culture in America to celebrate Christmas or Christian culture to celebrate Christmas, it's a bit of a mix of both. You don't like the lights? Hey, get over it. And maybe you could even enjoy the lights. Maybe there'd be something about it that triggers something positive. Hey, this is a time where families get together. This is a time where people exchange gifts. This is a time when spiritually minded people celebrate God's love for the world and God sending his son into the world to die for us. Is that such an oppressive thing to think about? Is that something that's going to trigger all kinds of difficulties? So get over it. College students that struggle with these things, get over it and accept the fact that the culture you're in, about 75% of the population identifies as Christian. What part is genuinely Christian? God knows, certainly nowhere near 75%. Is it a third of that? But God knows. In point of fact, though, that is the identification. It's down from about 85% maybe a decade or two ago, but 75%, that's still quite dominant. That's how people identify. And the majority of Americans celebrate Christmas, probably the large majority. So either enjoy it or ignore it, but don't get offended by it. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we switch over to Jerusalem and some very important news there regarding the Trump administration, let's talk a little bit more about Merry Christmas. We'll start in New York. Whoa, we won't. They're dropping like flies. All here a moment ago. Christian in New Jersey.
Yes, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir. You know what? Tell you, my bad here. Stay right where you are, if you don't mind, sir. I apologize for doing this. I was going down a list of calls where people are going to weigh in on Merry Christmas, and you want to talk about something we're coming to shortly. So stay right there, and right after the break, I am going to introduce the subject about National Geographic and the cover of the magazine talking about gender revolution featuring a 9-year-old boy who identifies as a girl. We'll come back to you. We'll start right there. My apologies for misreading my screen. But let me say this about the Merry Christmas issue. I did a poll on Twitter, and let's see where it stands now. Do you personally feel that saying Merry Christmas is a big deal today in the USA? Is it truly a part of the larger culture wars? And it's just about evenly divided. Only the first couple of hundred votes in so far. I just put it up a little while ago. But it's pretty much equally divided. 53% say a big deal. 47% say not a big deal. Let me say this to you. If it's a big deal to you, it's a big deal. In other words, if it's important to you, if you feel that it's very important to say Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays, and it's important for you to hear that, then it is a big deal. But let's not magnify it in a way that overdoes the fact that Christmas is not necessarily the most religiously celebrated holiday because of all the materialism. And perhaps we can put our emphasis in other places. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Let me say this one other thing about Merry Christmas. I'm looking on Twitter, and a woman named Christine said, as I say it to others, they reply as if, wow, I can say it now? It feels nice. It's interesting that she's saying there's a sense of greater liberty and you can say this more clearly, Merry Christmas. However, if that's the case, make sure that Jesus is in the center of Christmas for you. In other words, saying Merry Christmas and people saying these things more freely and not just a generic Happy Holidays or whatever, or a removal of any reference to Christmas, if you say that and all it is for you is just a big material gathering, giving gifts to one another and having lavish feasts, and it's nothing spiritual. By the way, if that's what Christmas is to you, just a secular holiday, fine, whatever. Then it's no big deal to say Merry Christmas. If you want to make a big deal about it, make sure Jesus is in the middle of it, all right? So before I talk with you about Donald Trump's push to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and the massive flack he's experiencing over that, and his nominee, David Friedman, as ambassador of Israel, who absolutely is expecting to make that move the embassy there, and people saying it's like a world war if you do that. Before I get into that, the whole issue of moral and cultural revolutions, I didn't start this. I didn't start looking for a fight. I didn't start magnifying gay-lesbian issues. I'm not the one that lit up the White House in gay colors last year. I'm not the one that influenced the judges to think they could redefine marriage. I'm not the one bringing this to a school near you or through sitcom after sitcom or even cartoons for kids and on. I'm not the one doing this. All we're doing is responding to what's coming our way. So get National Geographic. What do you think of when you subscribe to National Geographic? Pictures, the amazing pictures, you know, some insects and, you know, some jungle somewhere or some hidden tribe that's just been discovered or, wow, a volcano erupting or incredible. Look at, you know, lion pouncing on some other animal and the hunting patterns of these fierce beasts. And that's what you think of, National Geographic. And yeah, I mean, they're going to have an evolutionary viewpoint and a global warming viewpoint and those types of things. You're not going there for a Christian message, but you're probably not reading National Geographic to read about a 9-year-old boy who identifies as a girl with the front cover picturing this boy and saying, yeah, I have some boy parts, but, you know, that's okay because now I don't have to pretend to be a boy anymore because I'm really a girl on the inside. My heart goes out to this little kid, 9 years old. National Geographic proclaiming a gender revolution. This is something that has come to us. I have a very important article I wrote over this, really burdened to address this. You can read it by going to our website, thelineoffire.org. Just go there, thelineoffire.org, and you will see the lead article. It's National Geographic, guilty of child abuse. I encourage you to read that carefully. Oh, and by the way, so I don't forget, by the way, when you are on our website, thelineoffire.org, you'll see it. right there when you open up the page, the last 2 weeks of this year, 40% off all digital downloads. So that's on the website. All right, to the phones. Christian in New Jersey, thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire. Your thoughts about the cover of National Geographic?
Dr. Brown, first of all, I have to say thank you so much for bringing this to the limelight, because, you know, if you are not the one bringing this up, I don't know how we will know about this. But my point is this. I had called on your show some time ago, and I said, you know, that initiating children to homosexual lifestyle is almost like a genocide to the, you know, to the next generation. You know, I think it is time for Christians to really stand up. There should be an uproar, you know, with regards to this. You know, in the past, when gay and lesbian agenda, you know, when they were pushing their way through, you know, everybody said, oh, they're not hurting anybody, they're not damaging anybody, so give them chance, you know. And now everybody kind of laid back and gave them chance. They all came out of closet, and now Christians are being pushed into the closet. And I think that, you know, given what we saw through this election, I don't think Christians should really sit back any longer and just, you know, still remain in stupor. You know, I think we need to wake up this time and say, you know what, this far and no further. Christians should really rise up and push back and say enough. That's just my call. Thank you so much, Dr.
Well, you're very welcome, Christian, and it's my joy to seek to be a watchman on the wall. Let me respond to a couple of things you said. It's fascinating that you say with this election now that Christians should be emboldened to stand. Obviously, Donald Trump did not make a big issue about gay and lesbian issues. In fact, he said Bruce Jenner could use the bathroom of his choice at Trump Tower. And he said more recently, look, same-sex, quote, marriage, that's the law of the land. So he's not majored on these issues, but he has so pushed back against the oppressive political correctness of the culture and the dominance of the views of a few over the sensibilities of the many, that you're absolutely right. It is part of a larger pushback and a larger sense of many Americans saying we've had it with these radical agendas. And I believe that when we see National Geographic doing this, we have to say that they have not taken responsibility. Their number one reason for, in my judgment, in my opinion, the number one reason that they put that child on the front cover is to sell magazines. That's in my humble opinion, and you don't need to be a rocket scientist to think in that way. They felt that would be the best way to draw attention to the issue. 9-year-old boy identifying as a girl who says he doesn't have to pretend to be a boy anymore, putting that on the front cover, and then the heading, Gender Revolution. It is to sell more copies. And you are now turning this child, who was putting out his own YouTube videos, obviously with help of others, at the age of, what, 8 or 9. Now you have turned this child into an international celebrity overnight. And the fact of the matter is, the research, and I've seen plenty of examples of this, research consistently indicates that the majority, the large majority of kids who identify as opposite to what they are when they are small children, once they go through puberty, no longer identify as such. But the more you play into it, the harder it will be to come out of that. Isn't that abusing this child in some way? Dr. Paul McHugh, celebrated psychologist with Johns Hopkins University, hated by the transgender community, said to me a few years ago, yes, his words, he brought it up, it is a form of child abuse. Something to take seriously. And then, do we have an answer for kids like this?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, speaking of fire, you know the saying, where there's no wood, the fire goes out, right? So I am not bringing up the newest LGBT story or issue. I'm not looking for the latest thing to address to keep the fire burning. Now, I'm very happy to focus on other issues. I'm very happy to devote time to other issues. And, of course, I'm doing that day and night, other things I'm writing about, other things I'm ministering about. I'm thrilled if a month goes by and there's not a single thing to address in major LGBT activist news that catches our attention and we can just focus on reaching everyone with the gospel. That's not the reality. The reality is this stuff comes knocking on our doors day and night, like it or not. One of my conservative activist friends, I said to him, why don't you just quit dealing with these things? He said, I'll stop when they stop. No, it's just not a battle that we created. 866-348-7884. Frankie in Yonkers, welcome to the line of fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. How are you? You have a very good program. It allows us to speak online about the situation. I called your line in Halloween, and we had a discussion one time. And I'm calling once again in respect to the situation. Let me tell you something. I'm very concerned because my daughter, when she was in high school, another girl tried to kiss her. And my daughter, we are a Christian family, and my daughter said to her, wait a minute, what are you trying to kiss me for? I'm not gay. And the girl said, well, you're not yet, but you soon will be, because this is the new style, this is the new thing. You know, it seems to me like homosexuality is coming to us in a form of a style, of a trend. It's like something that's growing rapidly, you know. It's very concerning and very disturbing.
Yeah, listen, if one of my daughters came home from high school and said that they experienced that, you better believe it would be concerning. See, it's one thing if a guy...
And if you speak about, it's a hate crime. If you tell them, listen...
Right. To say, I'm not gay. Right. If you say, hey, I'm not gay, now you're the guilty party somehow.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, look, Frank, it would be one thing if a guy tried to kiss your daughter and she said, hey, what are you trying to do? Okay, that's wrong. Pushing himself on her, that's wrong. Or for another girl to do it because she's a lesbian, that's wrong too. But then to tell her, oh, yeah, you're not yet gay because this is a new trend. Look, the fact of the matter is there's a tremendous amount of experimentation, especially of girls kissing girls in high school and even middle school. It's been a trend in movies. It's been a trend in TV. I posted articles about it as I began to read about the phenomenon more and more, you know, being the in thing. And then kids are going to experiment. And for whatever reason, girls are more prone to this experimentation than boys. And then you have enough kids, say when they're 13, 14, 15, and their hormones are clicking in and they're surrounded by such a decadent society filled with sexual anarchy, that it's very easy for kids to question their sexuality. And now you're told you can be bisexual and that's cool and so on. And look, I've for years, Frankie, when I would talk about these things, I remember over 10 years ago, 15 years ago, talking about some of the stuff that was going on in the schools and things like this. And when I was done, students at our ministry school that had just come out of high school and now were college age, they said to me, Dr. Brown, you have no idea what's going on. In other words, I painted a picture that would make your hair stand on end 15 years ago, a little longer, actually, make your hair stand on end about a bunch of things going on in the schools. And students came up to me afterwards and said, Dr. Brown, you have no idea. It's far worse. So best thing, pour into your kids godly values, as you're obviously doing. Help them to really love the Lord and then reach these other kids that are lost because they need the Lord. Thank you for the wake-up call, sir.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to say this plainly. There will be no gender revolution. There will be no gender revolution. What do you say? You're saying you're going to crack down? No. I'm just saying it's not going to work. God established male, female. That's what makes the world go round. There are some people born with difficult biological or chromosomal abnormalities, intersex or hermaphrodite or other issues. And just like we have compassion on anyone with some type of abnormality or handicap, and we work for their wholeness without normalizing that. And in other words, if someone is confined to a wheelchair, we try to have a ramp where they can come up into our building or something like that. But we don't take away steps, right? Because everyone else can use the steps. So the whole gender revolution concept, or should be a third gender, or just recognition that the gender binary is locking people in. Forget it. The gender binary is going to remain because God made us male and female. That's the way we are wired. The vast, 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 vast majority of human beings are going to be attracted to the opposite sex and to romance and sexuality in these ways, and reproduction and family life. And that's the reality. That's the reality. And it's a good, wonderful reality. And for those that don't fit in those categories, simply either because of a physical problem, be it biological or genetic, or be it because of some emotional problem or some other issue, we want to help them. We want to reach out to them. But we don't turn the whole foundational system established by God upside down. 2012, the Daily Mail in England ran this headline about Rhea Cooper. Quote, "I was born a boy, became a girl, now I want to be a boy again. Britain's youngest sex swap patient to reverse her sex change treatment." So Rhea was accepted for gender reassignment, as it's called, at the age of 16, began to transition at 17, but then had a change of heart at 18, quote, saying that she has found the changes overwhelming and that they have made her deeply unhappy. Well, whatever happened, well, 3 years later, the Mirror reported that Britain's youngest transgender patient says she can't get a job, quote, because of her past. Friends, the story goes from sad to sadder. And I know this is just one person, but is this not a cautionary tale? Turns out that Rhea ended up transitioning as much as possible to be, quote, a woman. I say, quote, a woman because Rhea would not ever fully be a woman because God made Rhea a man. And Rhea then, to make a living, got into being a sex escort / prostitute. And now that people found out Rhea's having a hard time getting a job, doesn't that tell you that this young person needs help? Doesn't this tell you that there's more going on and they deserve compassionate help? So you're talking about a 9-year-old on the cover of National Geographic. If the kid is not on hormone blockers now, soon enough he will be, all right? That's to stop the onset of puberty. And then when he gets old enough, maybe, what, 16, 17, start to plan out sex change surgery, and then have pretty much irreversible sex change surgery, then be on hormones for the rest of his life. Wouldn't it be far better to try to find out why he thinks he's a girl when he's not? Isn't that the far more compassionate situation? So before I was on with Tyra Banks in early 2010 to discuss the issue of transgender children. A few months earlier, November 2009, I emailed Dr. Paul McHugh. He's heralded Johns Hopkins psychologist, as I mentioned a moment ago, staunch opponent of sex change surgery and despised by the transgender community. They feel that he is out of date, out of touch, and just hostile because of his religious views. I asked him if his views about any of these issues had changed. He responded, "I hold that interfering medically or surgically with the natural development of young people claiming to be, quote, transgendered is a form of child abuse." Can I repeat that? Dr. Paul McHugh, "I hold that interfering medically or surgically with the natural development of young people claiming to be transgendered is a form of child abuse." So what I'm wondering about is National Geographic now complicit in this child abuse by making a confused young child into an international celebrity. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Dan on Long Island. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I feel like there's so many aspects to it. There's the spiritual, obviously, but also where it comes from, the family. And hear me out. When I was like 6 or 7 years old, I wanted to be a cat. I know there's a difference, but the truth of the matter is there's a scientific, you know, biological reason why I can't be a cat.
Now, how deeply did you feel this?
I mean, not crazy deeply, but the point is that even if when I expressed it to my parents, it was like, you know, you're a kid, you have an imagination, you want to, you know, you're exploring your imagination and as you're developing, and you come to a point where, you know, someone needs to give you guidance. And it wasn't something like, you know, I was determined to become, but if I had, I mean, I've seen on TV someone who actually ended up getting, you know, whiskers. And
no, I know. I know. I've documented a lot of this too. And Dan, that's the real issue that, yeah, maybe your cat desires or fantasies were not as intense as this kid on the front cover of National Geographic. But what stopped you and what your parents wisely recognized was that you are actually a human being, not a cat. And
right.
Yet you have people now. There's a guy who's tried to transition into looking like a parrot and a man who's transitioned into trying to be a female dragon. And another man who's now transitioned into being a six-year-old child who lives with new adoptive parents, and a woman who believes she's a cat, and a man who lives as a dog, and on it goes. If perception is reality, why not? Well, the fact is, you are not a cat any more than you are a woman, any more than you are an alien from Mars, and yet there are people who identify as all of the above. And believe they are, and increasingly our society is saying, well, if you believe you are, which is insanity to think that way.
Yeah. No, it is. And I understand that there's a difference between, you know, wanting to be an animal and a female, you know, or having a desire, but really a lot of it is, you know, pushed upon or pushed from parenting or, like you said, society. Where, you know, oh, it's okay to be that, it's okay to be this, and then, and yeah, chase your dreams, become an animal. Like, if that was the house I grew up in, then, you know, who knows where, thank God I grew up in a Christian home, and that was just, you know, a childhood, you know, imagination thing, but, you know, it was, you know, it shows how much influence, you know, our parents and also, you know, society has on a child, their upbringing.
Yeah, you know what's real sad though, Dan, is that as parents think they're helping their kids by saying, "All right, you know, Johnny, you really believe you're Jane, and when we let you play with dolls, you're happy, and when you let you wear girls' clothes, you're happy, and you're depressed and embarrassed when you have to be Johnny." And parents love the kids, and they get online and research this, and they think, "Okay, the best thing to do then." Is to agree with the child and so on and so forth. In point of fact, they make it much, much harder for that kid to accept reality. According to all the studies that I've seen, that when you play into it early, when the kid is older, it's harder for that kid to come out of that deception. And well, again, we're not talking about someone with biological or chromosomal disorders or ambiguous genitalia or anything like that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are clearly biologically chromosomally male or female and believe they are the other. That the more you reinforce their wrong thinking, the harder it is for them to break free later. Hey, Dan, grace to you. And I can tell from your heart that you care. And that's the biggest thing, that as we encounter people struggling, that they meet with the love of God through us. At the same time, we stand up against the societal madness. Look, there's something called other kin. or Therian, where people believe that they're part animal or part alien, and documented that in my book Outlast in the Gay Revolution and in various articles. They really believe it, and their story sounds exactly the same as transgender. And then those with body identity integrity disorder, BIID, that are not happy until a limb is amputated or they've gone blind or something, and they have now they feel whole in their body. They felt unwhole when they were whole. These people need our help. They don't need amputation of healthy limbs. 866-34-TRUTH. We come back. We are focusing on Jerusalem.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Michael Brown here, delighted to be with you. I've got an article that should go up later today or tomorrow. Why Donald Trump is catching hell for planning to move our embassy to Jerusalem. So look, the fact of the matter is, there's no controversy like the controversy that surrounds Jerusalem. It is the world's most controversial city, the world's most divided city, the world's most coveted city. The whole world cares about Jerusalem. Zechariah 12:2, still a future event. Jerusalem will be a cup that brings dizziness to all the surrounding nations. And the whole world will ultimately be in uproar over Jerusalem. So in 1950, Israel officially said that its capital was Jerusalem. But all the embassies, virtually all the embassies, have remained in Tel Aviv. Question is, why? Well, aside from the idea that Jews don't belong in Israel at all, that Jews have no place there, you know, Hamas wants them completely eradicated, other radical Muslim groups want them completely eradicated from their ancient homeland. Aside from that, the moderates would agree at Tel Aviv that's part of Israel. But Jerusalem, that's disputed. Palestinians want that as their capital. Well, it's never been the capital of a Palestinian state. It's been the one capital of the people of Israel for 3,000 years now. So 1995, the Jerusalem Embassy Act passed, according to Rabbi Shraga Simmons, by overwhelming bipartisan majority in both the House and Senate. And it states that Jerusalem should be recognized as the capital of the state of Israel, and the United States Embassy in Israel should be established in Jerusalem no later than May 31st, 1999. So, well, that's 17 years ago. What happened? Well, according to Rabbi Simmons, since the Congressional Act allowed the president to implement a waiver at six-month intervals, that's exactly what has happened in every 6 months since 1995. So that means President Bush repeatedly said, we'll postpone this. And President Obama has done the same, saying we will postpone this. Donald Trump said, no, we're actually going to do this. Now, according to liberal New York Times correspondent Thomas Friedman, every candidate talks about it, but nobody does it. They all toss it around, but nobody actually does it.